from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Happening. I almost don't care what the return is. Obviously, there's better returns, there's worse returns. But if they trade Ayuk at this stage when you're in a do or die season coming up, your last season before you have to pay your quarterback like $60 million, it's a disaster. It's a failure. It's a mistake, and the Niners need to be criticized for such if that happens, which is what makes this so interesting. And when I first saw the report from Ian Rappaport, I was shocked because the Niners, if they don't want to trade Ayuk, they don't have to do anything. The fact that they've reportedly agreed to, in principle, to the trade of Ayuk to the Steelers, it makes no sense because the Niners can just say, sorry, Brandon, we're not trading you. Play on the fifth-year option or sign for 26. That's all you have to do.
Or stay at home, Grandy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want that, but that would be Ayuk telling
all your money.
I did stand on business.
Yeah.
I turned down that. I'm here. I'm not showing up. And then how would that go to week 8?
Yeah, he won't stand on business.
Okay.
I mean, it makes no sense to stand on business. 800 grand a week for a guy who's made 12 million so far, and you're going to get 14.1 even if you just show up on this deal. No, and I do wonder, Grandy, about what player they get back, because you might be mad up front, but if they get an interior lineman, somebody who turns out to be really good and somebody who really helps you, and you start out 6-1 and Ayuk is a Steeler and they're 2-5 and you're 6-1 and the whatever player you got back and you got a second round pick and you got a future fifth and all the rest of it, I do think that the outrage up front would be worse than what could be coming down the road if you got a player who comes in and actually helps you.
If the 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk and the package they get back isn't good, because they probably it won't be.
You're not getting an all-pro back.
Right.
No doubt.
And Ayuk's an all-pro.
Right. To me, what they're saying is it got to the point where it's not worth it. Like, that would acknowledge that it's a distraction. That would acknowledge that something's going on that they feel is really going to impact the team negatively during the season, and they just don't even want to go there. Like, that's what, if they end up trading Brandon Ayuk, then that tells me it got so bad that they thought it would have leaked into the season somehow, some way, maybe in the locker room, and it wasn't going to be beneficial.
Maybe part of it is even if, say, Ayuk ultimately caved and signed for $26 million, maybe they were worried at that point that even then it still might not be great.
Not a bad point.
Because, I mean, if you're Ayuk and the Niners come to you and say, we're not trading you no matter what, you're either signing this $26 million extension per year or you're playing on the fifth-year option, I mean, Ayuk might ultimately decide to sign the $26 million, but he's probably not going to be too happy about it.
He has not caught one pass this
in
all offseason.
No, oh, I'm sorry.
We caught some big ones. From Brock Purdy, you can't tell me, I don't care if this is high school, that doesn't matter. Now, they could go out here, let's just say he gets back like when Bosa, but continuity, that was Evan's word. This is everything, the epitome of non-continuity. Like, he hasn't caught one ball this offseason. For Brock, to me, that means something.
Yeah. I mean, it was what happened with Bosa last year, right? Kind of took him a few weeks to get going.
And Debo the year before, when we were all like, that wasn't your best season.
Came in out of shape.
Yeah, man.
Although Shanahan saying yesterday, he's not worried. He knows Ayuk is going to be in shape. And whenever he does come back, assuming he does, he'll be ready to go.
LA Fitness did. Yeah, well, he's out there on the side where Jimmy was.
Exactly, on the kiddie field.
What about Jimmy throwing shade yesterday? When I was in, that's good to be here. They let me be myself. That bothered me.
Eh, Jimmy, whatever. It's a wrap. I mean, Jimmy's in the rearview mirror.
Okay. It,
like, Jimmy's like, you know, the ex trying to tell you, like, what you're doing is wrong or this and that. It's like, hit the pike, as Steiny would say. I mean, that's in the rearview mirror. You got no bearing on any of this.
It is true, though, that to me it's telling of the way the kind of coach Kyle Shanahan is. Jimmy Garoppolo's a guy that Kyle Shanahan didn't deem good enough to not toe the company line. And so Shanahan was like, this guy needs to hit the pike. For all we know, he likes Purdy, and Purdy toes the line, but maybe he doesn't like him as much as we all think.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
One more year like last year, then he's got no choice to like him like we think. And, you know, if he goes
so sure about that.
Well, if he goes for more than 4,000 and he takes you back to the Super Bowl and you happen to lose again, then you like him the way you like him. And the other part of it is you're in a spot, unlike Jimmy Garoppolo, although remember, when they paid Jimmy Garoppolo, he was the highest paid quarterback in football. So it's not like he didn't put a ring on it.
Oh, man.
He put a ring on it.
For five games.
Exactly. And then, I mean, turned out to be a pretty good choice in the short term.
Went to Super Bowl.
Jimmy got you to the Super Bowl, and then you saw Jimmy's warts, and you realized, okay, we need to do better. And then you made a mistake with Trey Lance, and then you got, quote unquote, lucky with Brock Purdy. But when you get lucky with Brock Purdy, I do think that Kyle realizes what he has with Brock Purdy, and you realize that, you know, it's not so easy as to get a high first-round pick and see a quarterback and pick him and like him. It's easier to pay a guy and then deal with whatever you have around him, I think.
The one thing, and Grandy used this term, and this is where I think maybe they differ. You said, this is a do-or-die season. I don't think they look at it like that. I think they look at last year was an important season. Next year is going to be an important season. And like the one thing I keep coming back to, they know they got to pay Purdy, or that's certainly on the horizon. So here comes Ayuk. And they know, they knew at the end of the season that regardless of what they paid Ayuk or what they could get him for, whether it was 25 or 30, that if they got Ayuk back into the fold, how long would it be for? 1 year, because we all were under the assumption that after 1 year, Ayuk or Debo would have to go. So maybe they're thinking, we know one of them's got to go at the end of this upcoming season, and we've now been thrown a curveball because Ayuk is not taking the money that we thought he would take. So, you know what? We got to make that decision 1 year early. Mm. It stinks. We didn't anticipate it. But the silver lining is then you get to at least see Purdy quarterback a team that he's more likely to be quarterbacking 2 years from now.
I get that, but I think this coming season is too important for them to be willing to maybe take a hit for this coming season to maybe benefit them down the road.
Like, agreed.
If they're thinking about beyond this season, obviously you don't want to completely empty your cupboard for future seasons, but if you're not doing everything you can to try to win this coming season, and if that's putting up with an upset Ayuk for a year, forcing him to play on the fifth-year option, then letting him walk, or whatever the case is, signing him to an extension, then trading Debo in a year, I think whatever drama follows that situation is worthwhile, considering it gives you the best chance to try to win now before you're spending $60 million on your quarterback.
And I don't think that they really want to see, like, in advance, what Brock Purdy will be like with a lesser roster. I think that you can examine Brock Purdy in a vacuum beyond, you know, the reality of what may come when you don't have Debo and Christian and George is gone and Trent retires and you know, Brandon's gone. I do think that you have the ability to recognize what he can be, even in that vacuum, and can he be, Jordan Love, can he be Patrick Mahomes? Well, you hope he can be, because those guys are now elevating lesser skill position players. I know that you've got Kelce in Kansas City, but Green Bay is a great example, I think, of where the Niners are going, which is all your guys in the skill spots are on rookie deals. Running back, tight end, wide receiver, you pay your quarterback 55, and you pay the rest of them a combined 20, and then you feel like if you are an offensive guru like Kyle is, and like Matt LaFleur is, you can make that work.
Like Andy Reid has, because they're no longer, they're doing it. They're big holdouts, but they're doing it and they're winning. But I told Stoney this, and I mean it real quick here. I think Kyle and company already know what they got in Brock. These 17 games in the playoffs, oh, do they matter? Hell yes. But you don't think they got a pretty good indication of just his pluses and minuses? Like, this season means a lot. But come on, guy. They got 2 years' worth in playoff games in the Super Bowl to look at Brock Purdy. So when Stoney says we get a better gauge of him, you know, without Ayuk, I almost feel like they already know that.
They know what?
His limitations and projections in regard to can he get it done if he doesn't have an IU. But I will say this to that. Those three games without Debo and Trent Williams for whatever, your boy looked overwhelmed.
But
they lost all three games, though.
Different circumstances. If the kicker makes a kick that the kicker should make, that's a win.
Cleveland?
Yes. Cincinnati was a scheduled loss. They were coming off a bye.
And the defense couldn't stop your boy. That was one of the best
and
offensive performances.
That was at the end of your whole run up to the bye. They were off a bye. You were in your last game before
the bye. Minnesota was bad, though, from Brock.
Minnesota was bad. Okay. Yeah.
McCaffrey also fumbled that first possession, if you remember that. They were about to get a touchdown.
Super Bowl, not the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so
both of them.
I mean, we can micromanage any of it, and I'm not going to sit here and like be a Brock apologist because that role is taken on this show from 2 to 6.
I love it. Shots fired.
He's not here today, don't worry. Yeah,
he's on his way back from Tahoe, and I know he's listening. Mark, I love you. Yeah. We were exchanging texts earlier this morning. I sent him a picture because it was bagel time this morning.
If you want to know about Mark, go to IG. He'll find what he's doing.
Yeah, beautiful trip in Tahoe, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. But I think that they already know about Brock Purdy, and they're going to pay Brock Purdy. This whole idea of like, well, hey, maybe they won't. Maybe they won't.
Well, if he fell on his face, Dibs, and the 60 was that, you know, that ain't happening.
How big of a fall on his face does it have to be? If he just has a so-so season, they still don't have any choice but to pay him what he wants.
23 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Ooh. And they lose in the first round, which they almost did last year.
He still gets 45.
Ooh, you think so?
No doubt.
What else are they going to do?
Exactly. Well, wow. And that's the thing. Are they going to go out and pay Dak?
They're going to trade for Kirk Cousins.
He's washed. You need to get off that ship.
I don't need to get off it. Kyle needs to get off
it. You need to get off it.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing I was thinking. If they know. If Kyle Shanahan knows.
Big finish coming.
Shanahan knows. You know what? We ain't going to. We get. It's Debo or Ayuk. It ain't both. We know that. Yeah. Whether it's now or in a year, we know that.
I believe that.
Fine. And guess who else ain't going to be around when Purdy's money kicks in? Trent Williams. So they might be looking at it as though, why would we give these. Why would we give two guys a lot of money who ain't going to be here in 2 years? The minute you give Trent guaranteed money, he's retiring.
Because you have to win the Super Bowl this year, Stiney.
That's what you think. That's the way you think.
So you're willing to hurt your chances to win this year just to... I don't even know what the goal of that is. To have an easier out for your star wide receiver?
The goal would be so you can be better in 2 years.
I don't care about 2 years from
now.
Well,
you know, Andy, you're speaking my language, man.
If the Niners are valuing 2 years from now over this coming year, then that's a major problem.
Not for a front office.
I feel so
that's
complete.
That's what front offices deal with all the time on 95.7.
Oh, brother.
The game.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Tuesday! Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. No Mark Willard. He's heading back from Tahoe. He'll be back tomorrow. Mark Randy, Dan Dibley with you here on a Tuesday on 95.7 The Game. Ho, Dibs, we got some new IUK stuff to get into today.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Grandy.
It's the story that never ends.
No. Nope.
And there's no end in sight just yet, but new developments today.
Well, it feels like the end is in sight. It feels like it's one of two things. Either he takes what they've offered, or he decides that he wants to go to Pittsburgh, and then he takes what they have to offer, and then it's finally done. It finally does feel like we are at the goal line, and I know Andrew Filippone from Pittsburgh Radio, our sister station, has been saying Pittsburgh's been at the goal line for two or 3 weeks. It does kind of finally feel like we are at that point where the Niners aren't going to negotiate with Ayuk anymore. Here's our offer. Here it is. You take it or you leave it. And if you leave it, then you're getting dealt to Pittsburgh, and we're going to get whatever Pittsburgh has to offer. This, according to Ian Rappaport, yep, that they've agreed in principle to a trade. And that's the part of it that makes me so interested is, what is Pittsburgh offering that would be okay with the Niners? It has to involve a player. Who's that player? Like, who do the Niners want as you go through, and they're not having joint practices with New Orleans because they have so many injured guys, and you start to look at the Niner roster and you think about, where are they weak? And yes, we'd love to have Minka Fitzpatrick, and we'd love to have TJ Watt,
that'd be
and you'd
awesome.
Love to have Pickens. Great. Those guys are probably not on the table, but who would it be that Pittsburgh would be willing to give up?
It's a good question. Yeah, that is. I mean, if the trade ends up happening, that is the question. I am of the belief, Dibs, and you might agree, that this trade isn't going to happen, and I think it's going to be because of what Brandon Ayuk thinks. If you missed it, this all came from an Ian Rappaport tweet earlier this morning. On Twitter, Ian Rappaport wrote, quote, "The Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract," sources say. "If SF gives the final sign-off, it's done. San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal for him to stay. He hasn't accepted." I would just amend Ian Rappaport's tweet by adding one word there at the end. Instead of "he hasn't accepted," I would say "he hasn't accepted yet."
Right.
Because the offer is still on the table, according to Ian Rappaport, and that makes total sense. It makes absolutely no sense that the 49ers would be willing to trade Brandon Ayuk. And Dibs, considering that, according to Ian Rappaport, who is very, very plugged in, the 49ers and Steelers have agreed in principle on a trade that would send Ayuk to Pittsburgh. The Niners are comfortable, at least according to reports, with the potential return to San Francisco from Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh reportedly is in a good place on a contract extension with Ayuk that he would seem to prefer to the contract extension on the table from the 49ers. So if all of those boxes are checked, Dibs, why aren't we talking today on this Tuesday, the 13th of August at 2:16 p.m. as if Ayuk is a Steeler? If all those boxes are checked, it feels like it's only awaiting one thing, which is Brandon Ayuk saying, yep, good to go, let's do it.
Yeah, and I wonder if it is the contract that he's potentially being offered, if it's not exactly what he wants, or if it's close and he has to figure out if that's really what he wants to do. And if you look at the arc of all this is, you know, Ayuk has requested to be traded. And all we've heard is, you know, from TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, that BA just wants to be paid. He wants to be a Niner, but he wants to be paid. So which one does he want more? Does he want to be paid more, or does he want to be a Niner more? Well, we kind of found that out when New England was going to offer him a reported $32 million plus a year. That's him being paid, and he reportedly nixed that deal. So then you think, okay, he wants to be a Niner more than he wants to be paid. And here we go, a week later, or a week and a half since that deal got nixed, and now we have this latest report. So what's the Pittsburgh money? Is the Pittsburgh money so much greater than $26 million that the Niners are reportedly offering? Is it 30? And so now he's debating it. It feels to me like it's probably like you were saying, maybe in the green room, where if Pittsburgh's offering $28 million a year, well, now you have to decide, like, is $2 million a year enough to where I want to leave the Niners, where I'm comfortable, where I've done well, we're going to be a Super Bowl contending team? Is $2 million a year enough to want to go to a new environment?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good question. I think the general consensus is the Niners' offer, which is still currently on the table, is around $28 million a year. The Steelers' offer...
$26 million.
Yeah. That's what I meant. The Steelers is the one probably around 28, and then everybody else is higher than that, but those are teams that Ayuk isn't interested in going to, or the Niners aren't able to get compensation back in return to their liking, so those deals are essentially off the table. All that's left is most likely the $28 million offer from the Steelers and the $26 million offer from the 49ers. Also important to note, these are just the per year AAV, the average annual value, which is a very, very minor part of these contract extensions. A big important number is the guarantee, and we do not know anything about that, but the AAV also matters, and generally speaking, players would like more on average than less, so it seems to make sense that Brandon Ayuk would prefer the Pittsburgh Steelers contract, and when you compare that with the fact that everything we've heard is that Brandon Ayuk would want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, that he loves Mike Tomlin, that Mike Tomlin is his twin, and that he wants to be in Pittsburgh, you're kind of left confused. That was my first reaction to seeing Ian Rappaport's tweet this morning, was confusion. This makes no sense. The 49ers have all the leverage in this situation. They can't approach Ayuk and just say, I know you really want to be a Steeler, Brandon, but sorry. Even if they were getting something in return that they valued, you could still just say, if you're the 49ers, sorry, Brandon, you're under contract with us. We're not trading you by any means necessary. Accept the 26 or play on the fifth year option or sit out and don't get paid at all. It's up to you. The choice is yours. The fact that the Niners, Dibs, are willing to essentially hand the racket over to Brandon Ayuk when the ball is on their side of the court, it means to me that the San Francisco 49ers are calling Brandon Ayuk's bluff. For whatever reason, they feel confident that Ayuk doesn't actually want to go to the Steelers, and they're saying, all right, Brandon, put your money where your mouth is. You want to be a Steeler? Just sign off, and we'll get this done right now. But nothing has happened yet. He's right. Still a 49er.
It's only been 4 hours since that report, so you know, maybe if you're Brandon Ayuk, you're trying to like weigh it all out, and what would it mean, and you know, how would you fit into that offense, and you know, do you really want to still be a 49er? That's the thing that I can't help but wonder about, because you know, if it's $26 million or $28 million, that doesn't feel like a lot, but maybe it comes down to just his own feeling about the ego of, you know, making $26 million a year average annual value and where that would put you on the ranking list, as opposed to making $28 million with Pittsburgh, and that puts you a little bit higher up with Jalen Waddle and, you know, short of Amon-Ra St. Brown, but you're at least in the top seven at that point, and if you settle for 26, that puts you down maybe at the bottom of the top 10 and even further outside of that. And so perhaps the ego part of that is what's weighing into his decision.
It always was interesting to me, this whole conversation leading up to this moment, because we had, the Browns are interested, and the Patriots are interested, and the Steelers are interested, and Ayuk is interested in the Commanders, but the Commanders and not really interested in Ayuk. And for all of these teams, it kind of felt like the consensus just across the country, football fans' consensus was, well, of course you'd want to be a Steeler over everybody else. And yeah, I guess I get wanting to be a Steeler maybe over a Patriot. Like, Patriots are not in as good of a position as the Steelers. That's saying more about the Patriots than the Steelers. But during this whole saga, Dibs, when Pittsburgh was a legitimate option to acquire the talents of Brandon Ayuk, the one question I kept asking myself over and over and over again was, what is so damn interesting about the Steelers? What is piquing Brandon Ayuk's interest about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is it just simply that he likes Mike Tomlin? Like, is that enough? Does Brandon Ayuk, is he willing to potentially sacrifice being on a winning team? And I know they had a decent record last year, but it was ugly football all season long, and you hope that they have improved quarterback play this year. But shout out to the 925 on the Xfinity mobile text line. Hey guys, he could be worried about the Steelers' QB play, which will affect his numbers. No doubt it will. Even in this offense with the Niners, where you have so many mouths to feed, I would imagine Ayuk's going to put up better numbers here than he would with the Steelers, with Russell Russell Wilson and Justin Fields throwing him the ball. What is so damn attractive about the Steelers that made them an attractive place for him to land in the first place? It didn't make any sense to me. And now with this report from Ian Rappaport today, it's all coming to light for me, Dibs. Ayuk has no interest in being a Steeler. He's just trying to use them to get the Niners to offer them 28 instead of the 26 they're currently sitting on.
I don't buy that because the Niners have not moved off the 26 in months. And, you know, negotiations broke down back in May. And he reportedly, and this is nothing that I'm actually reporting on, but it seems like he went back and asked for more than what he initially was going to settle for based on the way that, the market moved. And it feels like that the team and Ayuk have been at odds ever since because all those other contracts came in over the top, and then Ayuk went to his agent and said, whoa, the market's changed. We want more. And the team was basically saying, no, we were here at 26, and we were close to an agreement at 26, and now you don't want to do 26? That's a deal breaker for us, or at least that's a deal staller. And so then he says, I want to be traded. And then here we go, all the way through all the rigmarole, and now we get to a point where I think that it could be a broken relationship to the point where he might take 28. And it's a long play. And you look at Russell Wilson, fine. He's probably going to be the starter in the beginning of the year, but Justin Fields might be the guy. And I think that the one piece of this that makes me think that this deal might actually get done is Mike Tomlin, because it seems like he has a better relationship with Mike Tomlin than he does with Kyle Shanahan. And this is me from the outside looking in. I have no knowledge about, you know, Brandon and Kyle. We know that Kyle reportedly had him in his doghouse a couple of years ago, although Kyle has refuted that. There was no doghouse. And we do know that Brandon has said, hey, Mike, people say we look alike. And so they struck up a little online relationship. Exactly. So I look at that part of it and think that this may be more important to Brandon Ayuk. You know, you get a little bit more money. You go play for a coach who might be more of a personal mentor than Kyle Shanahan, and a chance to have a fresh start. I could see it happening.
Maybe. If that is what ends up happening, I think it's a major, major mistake by the 49ers. And I think, you know, what you say is right. Like, Ayuk, let's pretend that my scenario ultimately plays out to be true. Ayuk using the Steelers to try to get more money from the 49ers. Just because that was a tactic that Ayuk's camp is potentially using doesn't mean that it's going to work. The Niners can see right through it, which I think they're doing by this report coming out. Makes it seem like they're saying, all right, Brandon, you really want to be a Steeler? Just give us the go-ahead and we'll get it done. This could be Ayuk's last gasp effort to try to get a couple extra $1 million, because I think ultimately, deep down, you might be right. Maybe he does desperately want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, but everything we've heard, it was TJ Houshmandzadeh on with you and Mark Willard last week. You guys point blank asked him, if the money's the same, where would he want to be? And Houshmandzadeh said, the Niners. No doubt. The Niners.
But the money's not the same. And that, I don't think that the money's the same. And it feels like that the Niners' offer has not changed over the course of the last 3 months, maybe even longer.
My only point is, it's not like he's so done with the Niners' relationship that he'd be spurning them to go elsewhere for the same amount of money. There's at least, it's not as if his relationship with Kyle Shanahan is so broken beyond repair that he'd be willing to go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
At the first opportunity, like there's right. still a
he
good enough
relationship.
He would
have done that to New England, right?
Exactly.
He would have taken the 32.5 or whatever that number was. He would have just run away to go to New England. But I do think that there's something about Pittsburgh that is attractive to him. And, you know, maybe it's Mike Tomlin and the team. There's something about Pittsburgh that makes this feel more real to me than just him trying a last-ditch effort for leverage.
We'll get into that coming up on the other side as we continue here on Willard and Dibs. It's Mark Randy in for Mark Willard alongside Dan Dibley here on 95.7 The Game. Willard will be back tomorrow, but until then, we've got you covered until 6 o'clock today here on 95.7 The Game. We're sponsored by Meineke Car Care Centers. I see the phone calls streaming in. Give us a call. 888-957-9570. More Willard and Dibs coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Nibs. It's Mark Randy in for Mark Willard. Dan Dibley here as well. Mark Willard will be back tomorrow. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame and youtube.com/957thegame to watch us live. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube, and make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union, and you can download the free Odyssey app by scanning the QR code in the bottom right corner of our Twitch and YouTube streams with your smartphone. Everything we do can be found on Twitch and YouTube. Again, twitch.tv/957thegame and youtube.com/957thegame. Dibs, we're talking through the latest development in the Brandon Ayuk saga, and I think saga is the appropriate word because this literally began like 2 days after the Super Bowl, when the 49ers were conducting their end-of-season pressers and their end-of-season interviews, their exit interviews, and Brandon Ayuk was caught by members of the media outside his locker inside of Niners HQ in Santa Clara, essentially kind of emotional, not quite in tears, but clearly frustrated, asking if he would like to be a Niner in the future. And he said, if that's the right choice, then yeah. And then members of his camp take to social media and say this might be the last time they ever step foot in Santa Clara and in Levi Stadium ever again. And the situation has devolved from there. And here we are, August 13th, still answering the same question. Is Ayuk going to be a 49er or not? It's been about a six-month drama story since then.
Right. It's been unnecessary, too. I mean, they could have just signed him back in March for $26 million and been done with it, but he didn't want that, and whatever happened back in March never bore fruit, and it never got done. And so from then, it was other contracts that came in, and his price probably changed, and the team didn't move, and he requested a trade, and all the rest of it. Everything that we know has gone on, and yet here we are at the final step on the ladder. It's either you take what we offered, or you give us the okay, and we trade you to Pittsburgh. It feels like we've finally reached the last step on the journey where it's either, you know, it's like I said earlier on the crossover, it's Schmidt or get off the pot. Either you want to be a Niner and you take what we offered because we're done negotiating. We're done with the back and forth. You want, you know, I had 32 from New England. We're offering you 26 or 28, 26. No, it's 26. If that's the number, here's our offer. It's on the table. It's printed. We've signed it. You can either sign it or not sign it. And if you don't sign it, then you're getting traded. And that's it. Because we finally have a trade offer, a trade partner that we are okay with. And if Ayuk is okay with their compensation, and it seems like, according to the Ian Rappaport report, he is okay with that part of it, then make a decision. It's up to you, kid.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. The 49ers have reportedly come to an agreement with the Steelers on what their compensation would be from Pittsburgh in a Brandon Ayuk deal. And the Steelers are, quote, in a good place on an Ayuk contract, sources tell Ian Rappaport. But no deal has been consummated just yet. Why? Why is that? And where do you think this goes from here? 888-957-9570. We will go out to the phones in just a second. Mike, I see you. Hang on for 1 minute. Before we do begin here, just want to run past you exactly what Ian Rappaport did say. And instead of me reading, let's hear from Mr. Rappaport himself. Rap sheet on his own personal YouTube page, by the way, summed up his report from earlier today. Here's Ian Rappaport.
Here's where it all stands, as things have gotten a little bit spicy. Sources say the Steelers and the 49ers have agreed to terms on a trade. They have agreed to compensation, and the Steelers are in a good place at Brandon Ayuk's contract. That does not mean the trade is done. Does not mean the trade is done. It simply means if the 49ers say yes, then it is done. That part has not happened yet, but the deal is in place. Meanwhile, the 49ers have made an offer for Brandon Ayuk to keep him there on a long-term extension. He has not accepted that yet. The fact that he has not accepted that yet means it is simply not enough, and the 49ers are not there yet. So there are now dual paths for the 49ers. There's the potential trade with the Steelers, then there's the potential contract extension with Brandon Ayuk. Neither thing is done. That is why we are in absolute limbo for Brandon Ayuk.
So that's the Rappaport. Essentially, if the 49ers give the final confirmation of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the trade is done, and Brandon Ayuk is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and he would then most likely sign around a $28 million per year extension, multi-year extension, to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for the foreseeable future. My question then, Dibs, is, well, if the Niners have agreed to the trade, why haven't they said yes yet? They've agreed to the parameters of the trade, but they haven't finalized it yet. What are they waiting on?
They're waiting on Brandon Ayuk to go to Pittsburgh and say, yes, I will sign that contract extension. Whatever that number is, maybe they're going to Pittsburgh and trying to negotiate for a little bit more guaranteed or a little bit more guaranteed at signing. Or maybe Brandon Ayuk really doesn't want to go out and be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And, you know, that's kind of what you're saying is, you know, you make these demands and you do all these things trying to get the Niners to budge. And then when they don't budge, then ultimately you have to come home. And it reminds me a little bit of my sister. Shout out Hurricane Gale. And the year was 1978. And my sister would, and I love my sister, but she would run away from home. And she would say, that's it. I'm running away from home. And she'd run away from home. And the first time she ran away from home, it was like, oh my God. And I remember being in my room and crying my eyes out like, Gail's gone. My sister's gone. She's run away from home. And then dinner time comes and Gail comes back and we have dinner and it's like, okay, wow. And then, you know, whatever, 2 weeks later,
I'm running away from home.
And she runs away from home and I cried, but a little bit less. And then dinner time comes and she comes back home. And then the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. And I don't even remember how many times, but when she would run away from home, it became almost family comedy because, yes, you're going to see you in a couple hours. Exactly. Yeah. You know, see you soon and all the rest of it. And that's kind of where Brandon Ayuk is, where You know, I want to be traded. Okay, we have a trade to New England. No. We're shopping you to Cleveland. No. We have a deal done with Pittsburgh.
Okay, maybe.
And if you say no to this one, then you know what? You come home like my sister, the great Hurricane Gale. She didn't sign for $26 million. She got, meatballs and rice, which is probably on the table that night, and that's it. And you go to bed, and that's what you get. And that's kind of where Brandon is, where if you come home now after one last chance, we tried to give you what you want, and if you say no to Pittsburgh, I'm not going to sign, well, then you either play for 14.1 or you take the 26, allegedly, that we have on the table, and we move forward. And that's what happened with my sister. She eventually lived with us.
Stopped running away from home every couple of weeks.
Even though I kind of encouraged her to try one more time, you know.
You wouldn't be a brother if you didn't
Seriously,
do that.
I think Buffalo wants you. Try the Rams.
And then Hurricane Gale was like, yeah, no.
Exactly.
Not Buffalo.
Totally.
Please, not Buffalo.
So that's kind of where we are, I think. So this is it. Like, we've called your bluff time and time and time again. This is your last chance to, all right, you want to go to a new family? Go to a new family. We found you a bed, and you can go there, and you can be a part of Pittsburgh. It's
okay.
This
is the third bed we found you.
Right, exactly.
And in your estimation, the best bed.
Yes, the one you wanted the most.
And if you say no to this bed, then we know you don't want to be anywhere but right here.
Exactly.
So at least, I think the 49ers' motivation, I think pretty clearly they don't want to trade Ayuk, but maybe above that, Dibs, they just want a resolution one way or the other.
Right, and I think that's why we got to this point now on this day, because you've got another game coming up with New Orleans, and then the Raider game's right after that, and then after the Raider game, it's like, okay, football, real football, regular season football. Who is our X receiver? Is it Brandon Ayuk? Well, we want it to be, but if you don't want to be here, then it'll be Pearsall, Conley, Jennings, Taylor. I mean, what are we doing? We're going to have to figure out.
Robbie Chosen.
Right. Somebody's going to live in Gale's room if Gale moves out. We're going to have somebody fill that room because, you know, we've got an extra bedroom, and that's kind of where we are.
Yep. All right. 888-957-9570. What's your read on this Ayuk situation? Do you think he actually wants to be traded to Pittsburgh, or is this all just a big game on his side to try to get the Niners to potentially up their offer? It seems like the Niners have called what they think is Ayuk's bluff. But is it actually a bluff? We're going to find out soon enough. What do you guys think? 888-957-9570. Up next is Mike in Hayward. Mike, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy in for Willard, so Dibs and Grandy with you. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right, Mike. What do you got?
Okay, so this is a question I got. Every year you guys talk about how much these guys should get paid, right? Contracts, right? Well, this is what I understand. Everybody knows that the NFL don't pay their players zit nothing. Nothing. According to the NBA, like, they don't get paid at all. Those owners don't pay anybody any money. They've been getting away with murder for years, making tons of money. So a guy wants some more money, and everybody's telling him, well, take it or go somewhere else. Oh, really? Well, yeah, go somewhere else. But the issue is, why don't you guys talk about how these guys are not getting paid? They don't pay them. It's never discussed. It's always like, are you guys working for the team, or are you guys what's going on? Nobody defends that. Even the NFL Association press don't defend it. They just take what they get. Running backs don't get paid zilly nothing. Quarterbacks get certain people get money. Who they think should get the money? It's not evenly distributed, and they don't make any money. So $26 million ain't nothing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, appreciate the call, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, it is actually, it would be almost 100% raise on what he's already contracted to make this year from 14.1 to 26 if he had to play for 26. So, yes, it's more than not nothing. I know what you're saying, Mike, and I appreciate your point. And you're right relative to baseball, where Blake Snell's getting $32 million, and he's got a player option for next year that he can just pick up, and he can come out, and he could show up to camp again late, and he could be terrible in April, May, and June again.
And he's probably only going to make like 20 starts this year.
Right, and you could go to the NBA, where you've got Andrew Wiggins making 23 or 25, and he doesn't have to even try. He doesn't have to be very good, and he still gets paid. So, Mike, your point is well taken, but I won't ever come on the radio and say These guys aren't making money. And yes, Brandon Ayuk deserves to make more than what he's making, and he deserves to get a good long-term deal. And I do think that the Niners are offering him a long-term deal that may not be as much as he wants, or maybe not as much as he, quote, deserves, but it's not like the team is completely freezing him out and saying, oh no, you're going to play on your fifth-year option. I think they've tried in good faith to give him an extension.
Yeah, and it's one thing, like, the team is worth, what, like $6 billion? Like, it, from one angle, you can totally understand the athletes, and I think it's very specific to football, considering it's by far the most violent sport, at least of basketball, baseball, and football, and it's the sport where contracts, generally speaking, are not guaranteed. A big portion of these deals are not guaranteed. It's why, you know, if you're the parent of a young athletic kid, maybe you encourage them to get into basketball or baseball, because football, first of all, your career is much shorter, high likelihood of injuries, and those contracts aren't guaranteed. Go elsewhere, and you might be able to make more money and not have to put your body on the line every single day you go out there and play. But also, the Niners are just dealing with the rules that the NFL is governed by. You have a salary cap you got to deal with. I know you can be creative and work around it just a little bit, but if the 49ers did not have the pressures of the rules that are governing the league, they'd probably be more than willing to offer Brandon Ayuk $28 or $30 million a year. But the reality is, they've got to try their best and be as creative as they possibly can to fit everybody in. And in a perfect world, could we all boycott the NFL and fight for guaranteed contracts for everybody and up the salary cap? That might not be a good thing for some smaller teams that are unwilling to spend, but in a perfect world, would that be something that's possible? Sure, but we're dealing in reality, not in a perfect world, and this is the reality the Niners are currently dealing with.
Yes, and it's salary capped, and you've got a quarterback who's going to make 50, 55, 60, whatever he's going to make based on what he does this year, and so you don't really have a ton of money to give to everyone, and you know, ultimately you have an offense that doesn't pass the ball as much as other offenses. You threw it 32nd most in the NFL last year, which is dead last, and I do think that that's partially by design. Kyle Shanahan always talks about being a 50-50 split run and pass, and that's about what they were last year. They ran it actually a little bit more than they passed it, and if you're a good team, a team that's winning games, you're going to run it more in the late part of a game than you are going to pass it. If you've got a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, you want to run it, and you've got a great running attack, and you've got an elite Hall of Fame offensive lineman, and you've got great receivers and a tight end who blocks, so you're going to want to run it, and so that does decrease your reliance on having a receiver like Brandon Ayuk. All these things added up, they're still giving him an offer that I think is maybe not fair market. That is kind of in the eye of the beholder, but it definitely is an increase from what he's making this year. And if he doesn't want to play for 26 here and he wants to go to Pittsburgh and make a little bit more, then I don't hold that against him. Go out there and make all the money you can. Like you said, Grandy, this is a sport that it will take your career in a heartbeat. Like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's gone.
This very well could be the final major contract he signs. You hope not. And you certainly hope for his sake and for everyone's sake that they keep getting more contracts. But there's a reality where this is the last lucrative multi-year deal he signs. And when I say last, it's also the first post-rookie, which you can't really negotiate much about. So like, it might be his only option, which is why you completely understand Ayuk's side of this. And you encourage him. And if you don't encourage him to try to fight for everything that he can possibly get, then I think maybe you got to check your priorities. But you encourage him to try to get everything that he possibly can. But at the same time, that doesn't just mean the 49ers should bend to whatever Brandon Ayuk's will is, because you have so many other factors to try to consider. Now the ball is simply in Ayuk's court, and he has to decide, Dibs, what is most valuable to him. Is going to Pittsburgh potentially for an extra $2 million a year, right? $28 million versus $26 million. Is that worth potentially the decrease in wins that the team is going to accrue? Is it worth the lesser stats potentially? Being on fewer nationally televised games? Being less nationally relevant potentially? And who knows, maybe the Steelers are going to surprise everybody and be a great team this year. But that's what Ayuk has to be factoring in. How much is that extra $2 million or whatever the amount ends up being between the Steeler contract offer and the Niner contract offer, how much is that worth it to you, Ayuk? Is it worth potentially not winning a Super Bowl? No guarantee you'll get it here, but you certainly have a better chance of getting it here than in Pittsburgh.
And it depends on what your priorities are as a player. And, you know, every player is going to have different priorities. And yes, you'd love to win. You'd love to win a Super Bowl, and you'll have that forever in your back pocket. But at the same time, you might be in a spot in your mid-20s where you want to get every last dollar you can, knowing what we talked about, that this game is not only fickle, but it could be fleeting based on injury. So if you're Ayuk, and maybe the amount of guarantee between the Pittsburgh offer and the Niner offer is $10 million in actual guaranteed at signing, well, that's a lot of money. $10 million of actual money. Forget the average annual value and forget the guaranteed at signing. The real number is the actual guaranteed at signing, not the total guarantee. I misspoke, but the guaranteed at signing. Yeah. That's the money you get when the ink is dry on the contract and you hand it over. You get that money, whether it's $30 million Amon-Ra St. Brown or what Justin Jefferson got, which was, I think, $88 million guaranteed at signing. That is what you get when you sign the contract. So if I'm in Brandon Ayuk's spot, that's the number that I'm most worried about. And yes, if I'm more worried about money than I am about winning, then that becomes a bigger issue to me than it would have been for other players. It just depends on what you prioritize, because if you're a Niner or a Steeler, obviously you have a better chance to win the Super Bowl this year with the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a better quarterback, and you've got a better everything. You've got a better play caller and all the rest of it. And maybe your relationship with Mike Tomlin's better than Kyle Shanahan. I don't know that. But money aside, if your number one priority is winning, well, then it's an easy choice. And then this would have been signed a long time ago.
Yeah,
I think,
but it hasn't been signed. I mean, I think ultimately what's going to happen, Dibs, and you know, we can lock in our predictions now if you want. I think ultimately what's going to happen is Brandon Ayuk will return to the 49ers and he will sign whatever their offer is, around $26 million per year, because I think everything that he's done this offseason, everything, and I mean from going on TikTok and posting his video conversation with Jaden Daniels, the new quarterback of the Commanders, to officially requesting a trade, to having TJ Houshmandzadeh come on with you and Mark Willard last week and fight for his side of this negotiation, everything that the Ayuk camp has done this offseason has been with one thing in mind, and that one thing has just been squeeze as much money as you possibly can out of the 49ers, because nowhere in my right mind would I ever want to leave here. This is a footballer's dream. So in my opinion, lock it in. Brandon Ayuk is going to sign a major contract extension with the 49ers. Everything else has just been his camp's effort to try to get a couple million dollars extra out of the Niners so he feels like he didn't leave any money on the table.
Yeah, that would be, I guess, surprising to me, because I've said all along that I thought he'd be traded, and might have been yesterday or even last week where I basically capitulated. It was a capitulation sensation where I all but said that, you know, I was wrong. Looks like he's not going to get traded. Looks like he'll be here after all. Cha-ching! I got it, Carter. Don't worry about
cha-ching!
That. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. But maybe turns out I'll be right if he does get traded, because this report today, it caught me by surprise. The idea that, you know, the Niners have made their last best offer, and they've also kept working, and if you take the report as fact, they've kept working to try to trade him, and they actually have come to terms with Pittsburgh on a trade that would work with the 49ers, and so now it's up to Ayuk to either take Pittsburgh's money or take our money, and our money, it's probably the same contract we offered you months ago.
This is kind of teetering on the edge of being kind of disastrous for the 49ers, though. Let's pretend here for a second that the 49ers think Ayuk is bluffing, and by doing what they're doing, agreeing in principle to a trade with the Steelers and then handing the racket over to Brandon Ayuk for his approval and for him to make a decision, you're essentially calling his bluff. If Ayuk then, you know, turns over pocket kings, and the 49ers are left realizing, whoa, well, he actually did want to go to Pittsburgh, and then you're left getting back a second round pick, a fifth round pick, and a reserve offensive lineman, then if you're the 49ers, you are looking at a team that suddenly doesn't have as good of a chance to win the Super Bowl this
49ers, coming year. 49ers, they're in shambles.
The 49ers are in shambles. Shout out Matt Steinmetz. If that is what happens, then I think the 49ers, rightly so, deserve to be criticized heavily for the way this offseason has played off. But they're in the middle of, pushing all their chips in the middle of the table, making a big call in the World Series of Poker. If they get it right, they're going to be champions. If they get it wrong, they're off the table entirely.
It depends on who they get back. And I threw out the name Isaac Seumalo, who's a guard for Pittsburgh. If he's a guy who comes back, he's making $8 million a year. He's a guy you could immediately put in your starting lineup, and your O-line would get better. Your receiver spot maybe gets worse, but that's going to be the case no matter what. And so you might just look at this trade as a way to shore up other spots on your team, hoping that you can get by with Jennings and Cowing and Pearsall when he's healthy and Trent Taylor. And you might think that you have the answer inside the building at wide receiver to at least assimilate Brandon Ayuk while also getting better at other spots and getting a couple of picks. It's a tough sell, but if it works, then all of you are going to have to go back and apologize to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
Mm-hmm. You're playing with fire, though. I mean, totally. Half your receiving core is injured, and some of those injured guys that are supposedly going to be making up for Ayuk's absence are also rookies, and you don't know what the hell you got with those guys. And you're looking at a season where you have a legitimate, really good shot to win the Super Bowl. You're probably going to be Super Bowl favorites if Ayuk is on this roster again going into this 2024 season. And you're staring down the barrel of the gun on a potentially $60 million contract per year contract for your quarterback kicking in, not this season, but next, and you're willing to play this risky with your all-pro wide receiver, and if he ultimately calls you, calling his bluff, and he goes to Pittsburgh, and you're left with a reserve lineman and a couple of picks, that's a disaster. And the Niners might not be able to recover from that. And I know Steiny is thinking, oh, a couple of years down the road. I could not care less about a couple of years down the road. It's almost like the Warriors conversation, Dibs. I don't care about 3 years from now. I care about this coming season because we've got a great player on this roster right now. The Niners have 5, 6, 7 great players on this roster right now. Who knows what the team is going to look like 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Right, but maybe you can withstand the loss of one of those great players if you feel like you have a replacement in-house, whether he was one who was drafted or somebody else you already have, and you can plug them in and you can have the step back not be a full step but maybe a half step, and you get better in another spot, then you can, you know, sell that to your own organization. And the fans are never going to be happy if you acquire a guard, as I have intimated they might. If that's the player you get and a second round pick and a future fifth, and then you send out Brandon Ayuk, a fantasy football player, somebody we all know, but you plug in a guard and your interior offensive line gets better, fans are going to be outraged, but it actually might make your team a little bit better.
Maybe.
It's possible.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, we got to hit a break. 888-957-9570. You're also going to want to stick around because you got to hear what Diana Rossini reported earlier today. Diana Rossini of The Athletic. I think this is a major part of how this negotiation is working out behind the scenes. What does Ayuk really want? Diana Rossini has a hint. So stick around for that as Willard and Dibs continues. It's Dan Dibley, Mark Randy with you in for Mark Willard. We got more coming up on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.